This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Dirk Becker's Vancouver Island urban farm was ordered shut down last year by the District of Lanceville after a neighbor complained about farming-related activities. Dirk Becker and Nicole Shaw had spent 5 years creating the rich urban farm and selling produce at Bowen Road Farmers Market. The problem was that Lanceville's home business bylaws didn't include agriculture among its regulations. In the weeks following the story's publication in local newspapers, Dirk Becker and Nicole Shaw were contacted by hundreds of supportive people, and the story was reported internationally. Local food sustainability advocates asked that steps be taken to review the bylaw and amend it to accommodate urban agriculture. Lanceville Mayor Colin Haim later confirmed that the district wished to study and modify its bylaws.
We're joined on the phone by urban farmer and food sustainability advocate Dirk Becker and by Nanaimo Food Share chairperson Marjorie Stewart. Welcome to People First Radio, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dirk Becker, tell us about the order to close the farm as such, how it came about, and what happened after the story was reported in the media.
Well, the short version is a few months ago we got an order to remove soil near the front of the property that was deemed unsightly, and we did that, and then weeks later we got another notice at the door from a courier saying to cease and desist from all agricultural activity immediately, and felt quite blindsided by that. And we just shared it with some friends in Lanceville only, and then after that, after another week, a few in Nanaimo, and then the media got a hold of it, and we and City Hall and the Regional District of Nanaimo were flooded with phone calls in support of urban agriculture, local food, and the importance of growing food locally, since only 5% of our food is grown on Vancouver Island, 95% of our food is imported, and we only have 2 days fresh food supply in the grocery store.
Marjorie, what were your thoughts when you heard of this happening, whether you heard directly from Dirk or read it in the paper? I read it in the paper and I was rather shocked. What were your thoughts?
Well, I'm a Lanceville resident too, and in fact, we've been absentee landlords in this area for over 40 years and actually moved on to our property about 15 to 20 years ago. So I was a little disappointed in my council, but I waited to see how they were going to handle this issue. And, you know, I'm still waiting. I still don't quite understand what their plans are. What we're dealing with is we're dealing with an old regional district bylaw. Lanceville's very recently become a municipality, and they took the old bylaw 500 and sort of modified it to be bylaw 60 of 2005, and that's the one that I think is seriously flawed.
Marjorie Stewart, you were at a meeting of the Lanceville Council shortly after all of this happened. How did the discussions about this situation unfold? What was the energy there?
Well, as you know, municipal governments try to play it very cool and not to be seen taking sides. I was surprised at the amount of irritability that the mayor and council showed about the pressure that they'd been under. And I was a little surprised that they didn't seem to have fully read and understood their own bylaw.
David Tracy, who's a journalist, wrote in an article at the Tyee.ca called Why Urban Farming is the Future. He describes one individual's Mount Pleasant front yard not as a lawn but as a farm, and this is, of course, on the mainland, and asks, does this represent the beginning of a profound challenge to our very notions of private property and home ownership? Or is it just a simple way for a few more people to eat a little more food from where they live, a driving force behind the soaring popularity of urban agriculture? Your comments, Dirk Becker.
Well, in short, we already on the earth are extremely unsustainable. The average Canadian consumes per capita of 5 to 10 planets, meaning if we all consumed the way we do in Canada, we would need 5 to 10 planet Earths right now. So we have a moral and ethical responsibility to become less unsustainable. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to reduce our dependence on fossil fuel, which is almost all food is grown essentially with fossil fuel, whether the machinery, the fertilizers, the chemicals, the transport, the refrigeration, more transport, more refrigeration, getting it all the way to Vancouver Island. So now it is happening because there's more awareness and the price of fossil fuel is creating a pressure and health concerns. But ultimately, just from a purely intellectual perspective, it would make sense that we would grow food closer to where we live rather than depend on other people, especially slaves, in essence, growing the food in other countries for us. It seems irresponsible to me. So part of the reason why Nicole and I grow food here in Lanceville is we feel it's our responsibility to reduce the amount that we take and increase the amount we give. And the easiest way we know how to do that, besides other forms of volunteer work and caring for people and the earth around us, is to grow more of our own food and grow for food for others as close to us as possible.
Marjorie Stewart, your thoughts?
Well, I'm a little, again, these are small thoughts, but I am a little puzzled by the phrasing that the writer uses, because there are many constraints on our private property rights. That's, in fact, I think what we have municipal governments for. And it's understood that there are competing interests. Now, some of the competing interests are monetary, and that's a whole other big issue. Some of the competing interests are aesthetic, and my aesthetic may be very different from the aesthetic of the neighbour who complained about Dirk's farm. Some of the questions are about things like solar access. For instance, if my neighbour insists on keeping great big trees right next to where I would like to grow vegetables to feed my family, then they're kind of impinging on my rights. So there are many, many interests, and that makes life difficult for municipal authorities.
This is People First Radio on CHOY, across the islands and streaming online at choy.ca.
As we heard just a moment ago, only 5% of Vancouver Island's food supply is grown locally, while 95% is imported. There is only 2 days' supply of fresh food on Vancouver Island. Nicole Shaw and Dirk Becker are leaders in helping Vancouver Island citizens to become more sustainable in their own lives, from educating people about how to support sustainable local initiatives to teaching families how to grow their own food. But late last year, the District of Lanceville ordered a halt to agricultural activities on their land, as it wasn't allowable under district bylaws. We're joined on the phone by Dirk Becker and by Marjorie Stewart, who is the chairperson at Nanaimo Food Share.
Dirk Becker, in November 2009, you called publicly for the inclusion of the growing of food in British Columbia's school curriculum. Tell us more about that.
Well, I think that, you know, after many, many years of being involved in many things, the thing that I'm most interested in now is a cultural shift, and that includes looking at what our values are. And what could be more important than our children? You know, we have 50% of Canadians are now overweight, 35% are obese. 1 in 4 children alive in Canada today is slated for diabetes. So we have, you know, we're losing our health, and 50% of our provincial budget goes to health care. So what could be more practical, and what better value is there than having our kids engaged in understanding about food, growing some food at the school, growing food that they would eat themselves in their own classroom as part of their curriculum, whether it would be science or art, and because we were an agriculturally based society, not a globalized society as we are today, globalized and capitalized. And so in order for us to restore the health of us as individuals and as a community and as a society, I believe we need to come back somewhat to the land. And what better way than to reintroduce food, farming, agriculture, and all the wonderful things that go with that in the schools with our young people.
Marjorie Stewart, what are your thoughts about the teaching of agriculture and gardening?
Well, I'm a former school board chair as well as an old teacher, and I certainly want to support what Dirk has to say. The problem is that he's dealing with an institution with an immense amount of inertia in it, and there are many ways of using various learning activities in order to increase children's abilities with the basics and with, for instance, computer technology. Everybody knows that a farmer nowadays has to have some computer technology ability to manage the various variables. So I don't see any reason why farming shouldn't be appropriate to the curriculum, but I happen to know that it takes at least 9 years to make a simple curriculum change in BC curriculum. So don't hold your breath.
I'd just like to slip in what I say in my public talks is you can't eat a keyboard.
Excellent point. Tell us more about the importance of education and awareness of food sustainability on Vancouver Island in particular, and what has been accomplished thus far, Dirk Becker.
I think the most significant change can be seen through the metaphor of farmers markets. I remember only a few years ago attending the Cedar Farmers Markets, and it looked like the people looked kind of like sad puppies hoping that you'd buy the wilting produce from the card tables. And so we've gone from that to numerous farmers markets, and they're springing up all over Canada and North America. And so this is an excellent window into the general population's awareness and then the demand that it creates for a more fresh, local, more sustainable, healthier, closer to organic food that people understand and recognize and can see and smell and taste is better for them. And so this push, as it were, is very much coming from the general population. That's why we were able to create yet another farmers market, and it's been very successful and very busy. And we have vendors coming from as far as Cobble Hill wanting to be a vendor in our farmers market.
Marjorie Stewart.
Well, I like to come at it from the nutrition point of view, because raising a family, starting 40-odd years ago, was when I started to take note of the need to feed my kids healthy food, and I was lucky enough to be married to somebody who could grow it and who, on top of his full-time teaching job, grew enough veggies for us, for our family of five, all those years. So I'm not actually the best customer at a farmer's market, because I've already got a lot of good stuff at home. So my point of view is to express to people that there's a new way of looking at food and nutrition, and it is to throw out all those food guides, because they're talking about food that once had nutritional value but has no more nutritional value after it's been ultra-processed and is presented to you in the grocery stores. So they're no help. So it's better for parents to remember minimally processed is the only place where your kids will get real nourishment. The only place.
Eat food with no ingredients and with no ingredient list and with no label.
That wouldn't be any food left, too. Now, there's another way. I'm not inventing this. I'm collecting this idea for an interesting new study. There's another way of looking at it. There's a second type of food, which is what we used to call staples, things you wouldn't sit down and eat a plate of. You wouldn't sit down and eat a plate of flour or oil or sugars or whatever. And these are fine, so long as, because they have to be married to minimally processed food to make the interesting foods that are delicious in cuisines. The worst thing is for somebody to try to make a diet out of ultra-processed foods, and by that I mean snacks and fast food. These are the worst things to make a diet out of. Okay for a treat.
We have just a moment left in our conversation today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, Marjorie Stewart?
Oh, well, I want to encourage everybody to come out to CD Sunday at Bowen Park, March 6th, Sunday, March 6th, between 10 and 2, and also remind them that that afternoon at Bebbin Park, Nancy Turner is going to speak on Earth's Blanket on behalf of Nanaimo Area Land Trust at 2 o'clock.
Dirk Becker, is there any last point you'd like to make?
Surely. Though it is, we are in challenging times, we will all be happier, healthier, and have higher quality of life if we shift to values that will serve us better in the long term. And right now, we certainly need to think about the current awareness and future needs, and for sure, improving and making our food system more secure so we have a healthier, happier population.
Well said. Thank you so much to the both of you for taking the time to join us today.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks. Dirk, if I can just keep you on the line for one moment, sure. I'd like to know what your website is. Where can we find you online?
www.dirkbecker.ca.
Fantastic. Thank you so much to the both of you. Dirk Becker is an urban farmer and food sustainability advocate. Marjorie Stewart is the chairperson of Nanaimo Food Share, a nonprofit organization that helps people develop the skills they need to increase food security, build a community, and become self-sufficient. You can find them online at nanaimofoodshare.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.